This is Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio with Bobby Norris.
Hello, guys. I am back in my chair for Access All Areas. Those that know, last week we did a Freaky Friday. It was a Thursday, but we don't talk about it. And me and Ellen, we took over Politics Uncensored.
It was wild.
It was wild. It was a really fun one to do. But I'm in my showbiz chair, which is, if you know me, guys, and those that have tuned in for a long, long time, you know showbiz runs through me like a sticker rock. So I don't think Ali has got any worries about me taking his chair on Politics Uncensored, but complete bants. We had a laugh.
But we're back in our home now. I feel more relaxed. We know this.
Well, yeah.
We know this. This is our bread and butter.
Absolutely. and we need the coins. And showbiz, we spill the tea. Now, guys, as you know, me and Elle, we always bring an amazing show, if I say so myself. And tonight is no different, but we've got a bit of a Big Brother special. So it's jam-packed. So I've literally just done a pre-record with Izaz. He's straight out of the Big Brother house. So I got all the tea, and he didn't hold back, which is what we like, because it's Access All Area, guys. Don't come on here and be all prim and proper and hold back. No. We're here to spill the tea. And he did just that. And then we're going to be speaking to Heartstopper star and Celebrity Big Brother star, Bradley Riches. But first, Miss Ellen, how are you, Gulch?
I'm very good. I'm very good. I'm very happy to be back in our showbiz seat this week.
And you are doing, talking of showbiz, you're double hatting today.
I know.
They're getting their money's worth.
They really are. Back to my roots when I started on this show. But I kind of like it because I love choosing what we talk about, our topics, because I know exactly what gets our juices flowing,
because,
Bobby.
Because we never get a chance to pick.
Yeah, literally. So we get to chat about all our favourite topics.
I've never in 5 years got to pick.
Yeah,
but I kind of like that. I never like to know in advance.
Yeah, I know, because it's better for me as well, because it gives us a chance to kind of, you know, of talk course. About it without you seeing the story.
And that's why you're a journo and I'm not.
There you go. You can sit back for this bit, Bobby. Relax.
So what's caught your eye, girl?
Well, obviously we're going to start with a bit of Colleen Rooney.
Oh, yes.
I mean, every good showbiz story starts with that, but she's obviously going into I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
I'm excited.
Cannot wait to see her on
That's
that.
Such a good booking. That's off ITV.
This is literally
Someone
be the best
has
booking.
Written a big check.
Oh, yes. It is the biggest check that they've ever written, including the one for Nigel Farage last year.
Shit, she's getting more than not. Well, so she should.
So she should. I think he got 1.something million.
Yeah, what's she getting?
I think she's getting something like 1.5 million or
Fucking
something.
Fucking hell.
Oh, my God. If I were her, I'd take the check, go in for 2 days and be gone.
Yeah, because ain't old Vardy's had to give her something, ain't she? Because of the old wag of a Chris. She ain't had a bad couple of fucking... I mean, she's married to Wayne Rooney, so she lives all right. The girl
fine.
Does all right. She ain't living on her nectar points.
No.
but she's had the Vardy wag for Christo.
Yeah.
Now 1 point's up. Fair play, Colleen. Pack your bags and get to Brisbane, girl.
Get there. And as well, it's looking up for her as well in a way that she may not have to do the trials, which everyone fears going in there, because she's battling a secret health battle, and it all stems from the Wagatha Christie trial.
Shut up.
Swear.
It ain't Rebecca Vardy's account, is it?
Allegedly. So she's basically said that she has reactive arthritis. I haven't heard of this type of arthritis before, but apparently it flares up when you're stressed. And she only discovered she had this during the trial because she was obviously very highly stressed. And whenever she's highly stressed, all her joints, she gets like this flared up rash. It goes all red and her joints start to hurt her and stuff like that. So she might be called out of some of the trials because of that.
What a fucking touch. She gets all that dough, and fair play, Colleen. I'd be packing my bags if I was you, just to sleep in the hammock, because she's got to think, I ain't got to put a bollock in my mouth, which is always nice, unless you're into that thing. No comment. But she ain't got to chew a kangaroo's bollock. She might not have to do anything to do with heights. No anaconda wrapped around her neck.
Although I am wondering, is she going to be doing more of the eating trials if they kind
but
of...
But it might stress her out.
Maybe. Yeah, true. Yeah, because that one is just based on
For
stress.
For a million and a half, I would be throwing bollocks and testicles down my mouth. All on it, and deck. Just bring me a platter every morning.
I want to see
1.5 million?
Yeah.
Cunnel.
I know, there's not much I would do for that.
I bet for less. put it that way. I say that, it sounds like I'm a working boy. I've never charged. What I mean is, we've done it for free.
Yes.
Not like Pretty Woman.
Oh, kangaroos and all. Jesus, where does it stop?
Moving on from testicles, Ellen. Mine's always in the gutter, guys. Sorry. What's next?
Speaking of millions, Oasis obviously have their upcoming tour, which starts in the summer next year. But Noel and Liam basically had to sign this contract to say that they're not going to get paid until after they perform because the promoters don't believe that they will be able to be friends up until their first gig, which is July 2025.
Oh, I think this is hilarious. But actually, fair play to the promoters because, as we know, there's been a few ding-dongs in the past.
There has. And that's how they originally actually split up. It was before a gig in Paris in 2009. They had a fight. They didn't end up going on stage.
Yeah, and then fuck it.
They were like, fuck it. And they never came back. So,
and now there's big bucks. As we all know, like, trying to get a ticket to this is like trying to find a three-legged unicorn shit in glitter.
Yeah.
It's just been impossible. And when you found one, it cost an arm and a leg. Mm. But promoters are thinking, if you're getting $6 million a show, I think the lads are getting only three each. It's a fucking, it's a lot of money. But I say only as in they're not getting $6 million each. They're getting $3 million. Yeah. Blimey, ain't but a bad day's work. Is it $3 million a day?
Per show. And there's 33 shows.
Fuck me. How do I get onto their promoter?
I
need a new agent.
Who's the agent? Who is the agent?
Me and Ellen will do it for 1.5 million a show.
Yeah, no problem. Like that bargain. And we'd be so good.
Good.
I could
talk about
anorak.
Politics.
Yeah.
Showbiz. I can sing Adele. She's taking 15 years off, allegedly. Adele, call me. You sit back.
Yeah. There you go.
Get married if you want to have another baby. If you want, Bobby can go out there. I'll do the O2, Wembley.
Easy.
Never mind, I'll find. And I won't charge $3 million, so Adele, DM me.
You'll perform while eating kangaroo bollocks.
Yes. Normal Saturday night, Elle. What else has caught your eye?
So, actually, people have been up in arms on Twitter because Towie's viewing figures have come out, and I know you've been on that show for quite some time, Bobby, but I feel like Towie's viewing figures used to be a lot better, okay? So they came out recently, they're only 48,000 live viewers on the show this season, the 35th season, I think. The peak was 2011, and it was
when
like 1.5 million, if not more, viewers a night, like live viewers watching it on TV.
Yeah.
So people are like, they went to Twitter today and they were like, why hasn't the show been cancelled already? I don't get it. What's going on? So it's an interesting one, but I think ITV still think that it is beneficial to continue airing the show.
See, for me, I was actually quite sad reading this. Like, I get messages every single week because, as you say, I did a decade on that show.
Yeah.
Back in it, and don't mean to blow me own, but in its heyday.
Yeah.
So week in, week out, when there's a series on, I will get messages from fans that used to watch but don't tune in or maybe dip in and out and they're like, oh my God, what's going on? Please come back. Blah, blah, blah. What's happened to the show? Granted, to be fair, it's on series 35. There ain't many reality shows that have got that in their locker. Mm-hmm. So I've never bashed the show. Yeah. I loved my 10 years there. Mm. Not so much the last series, but I've touched upon that before, but I won't go into that. But I loved every series. The last one wasn't right, didn't feel fair to me, didn't feel justified for a so-called reality show.
Why is that?
Because I just felt that I don't want to spill too much tea.
Okay. But this is Access All Areas.
This is her. She's throwing my lines back at me. We'll save it for a book, maybe. But what I will touch upon is, in response to that, I felt silenced. Mm. And even if I could mention things, I think it was kind of edited out, which is frustrating when you're on a reality show.
Yeah.
When you can't talk about a reality, especially when it's on a show that had covered something before 7 years prior that lives forever on ITVX, YouTube, Google. You guys at Daily Mail wrote upon a lot of things. There's articles out there. So when you kind of fast forward 7 years, someone brings something up and you're not allowed to talk about that or reference that it's fact. It's so frustrating. But anyway, going back to seeing these viewing figures, and I didn't know you was going to mention this, but I was a little bit sad because in my day there, there was a lot of days. There was 10 years worth of days.
Yeah. In the heyday.
In the heyday, back when we used to get two episodes a week.
Wow.
Like, there used to be one on a Wednesday as well, guys. So there was Wednesday and Sunday. We used to get between 1.5 million and 2 million an episode.
That's insane.
Insane. So when I saw 48,000, I thought, oh my, like, literally. But even though I'm not there, it's sad because I kind of think, like, the legacy's kind of going so downhill now. And I kind of think, you know, if that's where you're at now, and I've been very honest, since the day I left, I've never watched the show.
Yeah.
But if you can't even pull in 50,000 viewers, I think, you know what, give the show the respect and maybe say...
It's like
having a dog in the corner of the kitchen that's dragging a broken leg. Do you know what I mean? Like, you would be kind and you'd go, do you know what, should we take him to the vet and let him go to sleep?
So put down the show.
Well, not put down the show. I just think for the legacy of the show.
Yeah.
There's a handful of people, and there's probably been hundreds of people that have done the show over the however many years it's been on now. I've not been there, I think, for two.
Yeah.
Maybe even almost three. But there's a handful of people that have gone on to actually still have careers. And thankfully, I'm one of them.
Yeah.
But they're few and far between.
Yeah.
And I kind of think for the legacy of the show, because it broke barriers. It was the first reality show that was ongoing.
Yeah.
So I kind of think, you know, it just kind of makes me a little bit sad. 48,000. I kind of think, oh, gosh, it's less than an Instagram story.
That's,
do you know what I mean?
And do you think it's to do with the cast this season? Or are you just not sure? Are people just... bored of it?
I think from, as I say, because I don't watch it, but what I get told on social media is that, and I think this is definitely what I noticed as years went on, is that when fans were becoming cast members, because when we started the show, there was nothing to compare it to, and none of us was fans of the show because it was a new thing, so we had nothing to relate to. Hence why I can't relate to 48,000 viewers, you know what I mean? Because that's why we was pulling in the 1.5 million and the 2 mils.
Yeah.
But from what I see now we've kind of got people that were fans of the show, and I think from what I see, a couple of slightly obsessive ones that are imitating, shall we say, other people's personalities that they've seen over years gone by. They're just trying to rehash people's character, and it's kind of become like a really bad, from what I see, and this is quotation of social media, ain't me? It's like a really bad Madame Tussauds of, like, of wannabe versions of characters that was there. Do you know what I mean?
I get what you mean. You see this with Love Island every year. It's like you're watching the same guests come in, or the same housemates or whatever they're called, Love Islanders, come in every year, year on year on year. They just have different names, but they look the exact same, and they sound, and their characters are the exact same.
And try and copy the same storylines, and they think, oh, that worked for so-and-so. So if I try and be like him, or I try and be her, it doesn't work because the clue's in the title. Reality TV, you need to be real.
Yeah.
And I think sad, but as I say, it did make me a little bit sad. But whatever should happen to the show, I think 35 series, it's had an amazing run.
Yeah.
But I think if you ain't pulling in 50,000, I think it's really sad to almost... not let it go out on where the highs left.
Yes, I think you're right, actually, on that one.
Anyway, that's enough showbiz.
Yo, okay.
Guys, enough of that. So we are going to take a little break, and then we're going to be back with my little pre-record, and we're going to be speaking all things this series of Big Brother. We will see you in two.
Access All Areas continues next. Foo Bar Radio. What the Health with Gabby Allen.
Three words to describe yourself.
Weird, funny, and quirky. I'm a strange guy.
Oh, I love that. That's good. Not many men would say that. Normally they're like, yeah, strong.
No, that's, you know what? That's what people think I'm going to be. Like, they see, like, the gym and the muscles and the tattoos, and they think I'm going to be, like, this, like, serious, like, fuckboy, like, laugh. You know what I mean? And then they meet me, And I'm like a Jim Carrey. I'm like a muscly Jim Carrey.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
1 in 5 people in the UK are disabled. And it's not always visible. So if we've made ourselves at home in priority spaces on the bus or train, surrounded by our shopping bags or bikes, we could be making it harder for the people who need that space more than us. So let's not forget about the people we share our journeys with and keep priority spaces clear for others. Remember, it's everyone's journey.
When it comes to heart attacks, you might be surprised to hear the symptoms don't always feel severe. You could experience a squeezing across the chest, a feeling of unease, a sense something's not quite right. Don't be tempted to dismiss the signs and wait to see what happens. The faster you seek medical help, the better your chances. It's never too early to call 999 and describe your symptoms. Your NHS is here for you.
Politics Uncensored.
I felt like it was a little bit, they wanted to go viral. They wanted the clip to end up on socials and be able to go viral, and there was nothing substantive on it. So to be honest, it kind of pissed me off because I thought it was a throwaway comment made for social media as opposed to actually giving voters information they need when they enter the voting booth.
Totally agree. And I also found the whole, I think he said something about Keir Starmer's strings being pulled by senior members of the Labour Party. I found that slightly conspiratorial.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
What's kind of that one golden thing that you like to share with people who are trying to start a business?
That's a really easy one, because I have a mantra which, you know, I say to young people all the time, and they really get it when I say it. And it goes like, don't undermine who you are by comparing yourself with someone else. It's because we are all different. Why each of us is special.
Grab your backstage passes and prepare to access all areas.
Guys, as mentioned, I've got my little pre-record with Izzo, so let's talk all things this year's Big Brother. Let go. Well, thank you for joining me, Izzaz.
No, thank you for having me.
Obviously, I've got to talk to you about Big Brother.
Yes, please, go for it.
So, mate, talk to me. Firstly, before I get into the ins and outs of the actual house, how has life been for you post being evicted?
Do you know what? It's been pretty crazy, because, look, I was going to go straight into work. And however, I've spoken to my directors and stuff, but it's been a bit wild. Like the support's been crazy. Do you know, because when you're in the house and you want to come out, you don't know whether obviously you're going to be liked or not, right? And I'm not saying I'm liked, but it's been really nice to have the support that I have from everyone out there. So it's been fantastic just to get a lot of feedback and, you know, a lot of supportive people, which is beautiful. So it's been really nice.
How was work? So obviously, I guess you go through quite an audition process to get into Big Brother. How does it work now? Because I know back in the day, like, people was queuing up at Wembley and the O2 for hours, like, hours and hours to queue to go through various stages. What is Big Brother like now? How do you get on Big Brother?
It's all online, so they'll obviously put, like, I think it's for any shows that you go on, it'll be an online application, but they have various steps that you have to go through. A lot of it, look, you have to get interviewed and then you go meet the producers, and then obviously with that you'll have your medicals and stuff like that. So it does go into a bit more detail, but it can be a lengthy process. If, for example, I'll say out here, last year I did apply, you know, and I felt like I did go quite a long way last year. However, I didn't get to the end. But this year I kind of got quite fast-tracked at the end. They obviously called me and then they were like, are you still interested and stuff like that? And I was just like, look, I'd love to give it a go again. And then they kind of like fast-tracked me this year, but I am assuming it's because they had all my stuff from last year. So I went in and had like the interviews with the producers again, with a group interview and stuff like that. And they do like certain tasks and stuff. So it was really exciting. And I actually loved the process, which was really fun. to be fair, and everyone's been so supportive throughout it. So hence why I went on to Big Brother, because I actually love the cast that led me up to the whole Big Brother journey. So that is my story on the application.
So this year, because you had applied last year and got quite far, you literally didn't have to apply this year. Did you get a phone call? Because I guess the people that... they can only put so many people in the house. So I guess they have a short list of people they like from the year before and they think, oh, they're worth holding on to.
Do you know what? I have a feeling when the Big Brother application came out this year, I think I might have, you know, just put a short and sweet application in. However, they didn't call me until right at the end, where I was literally like probably about a month or two out of Big Brother starting. And then I knew 3 weeks before that I was accepted to go on to Big Brother.
Yeah.
So that was quite quick. With last year, it took a few months to even get to, you know, the psyche and stuff like that, to have a chat with people, you know?
Yeah.
But look, they've been so good throughout it. Hence why it gave me the kind of push to go on the show, because I knew the support was going to be there.
Exactly.
So it's been fantastic.
And that's so important. So when you do tasks and that, do they keep you very separate from other people that have applied? Or are you in a room, or whether it's a hotel or whatever?
So you are in a venue, let's say.
Yeah.
And then basically you will be there with other, you know, potential housemates. But I guess they put you in a scenario where if you were to live with each other, you're going to do a bit of a task, see how you... I think they kind of assess you on how you'd act in a group.
Yeah.
And I think they call it then to see whether, you know, you're good for it or not. I don't know whether there's a certain criteria to be in Big Brother, because it's so diverse.
Of course.
It's just having the right person on, I believe, anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's just whoever they think is right. And fortunately for me, they thought I was one of the right persons to be on there. Maybe I was boring. However, I enjoyed the whole thing. You know,
so that's the application process. You've done all the bits and bobs. You've been in a venue with other potential housemates. You get the call. You're going in this year. You must have been so excited. So talk to me on launch night. What goes through your mind when you're like an hour or two? Because where is it feel? It's not Elstree anymore, is it?
No. So it is in, I don't know if I can say, actually. I won't say the location just in case, because I don't want to say anything.
Yeah, it's somewhere in London, because it was Elstree, wasn't it?
It's in London. However, look, I think when I was going in, to your question of, you know, when I was going in as my entrance, I won't lie to you, it was the most nerve-wracking thing I ever did. I couldn't just believe how many eyes were on me, you know, and I don't know how, like, these footballers and everything do it on a daily basis, these reality stars, because it's so nerve-wracking. But do you know what it was? It was like having people kind of like cheer you on to do the whole thing. And that was such a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
But I was so like zoned out, because I was just like, don't want to pee my pants. Like, it was like, just stay calm. Just stay calm. Pretend that you're just not there. Just smile and wave, you know? So that's what I was doing.
Oh, I love it. So then you're in the house. Talk to me, because it's not my first rodeo when it comes to reality shows.
Yeah.
I've got 13, 14 years under my belt, so I'm very aware how it works and when it comes to the edit and stuff. Now you're out the house, have you managed to watch much back, especially Big Brother, because you're in there 24 hours a day? To be fair to production and ITV, they can only put out an hour a night, which is about 44 minutes after your adverts. So they've got to really whittle it down.
Yeah, do you know what it is for me? I think people, I hope they understand. But look, a reality show, when you're in something with 24 hours, as when you watch it on the outside, look, you know they're gonna condense it all within an hour.
Yeah.
The thing is, they want the juiciest bits.
Of course.
Without the juiciest bits, you're not going to watch the show.
Yeah.
Realistically, you know? And realistically, sometimes the negatives, in sense, quotations, but it's not negative. It's just more of a thing that people get hooked onto. It's like news, isn't it?
Of course.
When something bad happens, you want to know about it.
Yeah.
And that's what I think that they were kind of like really focusing on, is the actual conversations between people that kind of was a bit heated. Because realistically, look, as much as everyone knows, I wasn't really into the arguments. I just wanted fun with everyone, and I really wanted to know people on an individual level.
Yeah.
So I didn't really want to be a part of a team. I just want to know everyone in there.
Yeah.
And I think that was okay for me to do so. But yeah, it was really weird seeing on the outside in, you know?
Absolutely. And you're so right. Like, I think just not even just reality TV, but just the way as a culture now that news is produced and TV shows getting around, and now the social media side of stuff. Of course, as if you was a producer, I completely understand. I can put my reality star hat on, presenter hat. Yeah. If I have my producer hat, you're not going to show 44 minutes, a whole episode, of people making sandwiches and cups of tea.
And the thing is, you want to make it fun for the viewers, and this is where you get debates. This is where you get to choose your favourites and stuff like that, and that's what makes it fun. So they narrow it down to the best bits for people to see and enjoy, and I think they've done the right thing.
So of course, as an audience watcher, we're only seeing, of course, what gets put out every night. But from someone that's lived and breathed it, let's talk Housemates. Now you're able to watch it back, because obviously you've lived with them. Who do you think is playing the biggest game in that house? Because nowadays, there are a lot of game players on reality TV that are quite calculated. And I'm not saying that to be shady, and not just Big Brother. On all reality shows, you get people that have a game plan. They want their followers, they want their blue tick on social media, they want brand deals. Who jumps out to mind when I say that?
Well, when it comes to like social media and stuff like that, maybe brand deals and maybe a bit of FaceTime on the front. For me, that would be probably Shegan. You know, he's playing the nice guy, but I kind of like, it's a weird one, because when I first met him the first week, he is generally a really nice guy. However, do I think he's dialing into it a lot? Yes. I think it is for the cameras a little bit as well, but it doesn't mean that he's not a nice guy. But at the end of the day, he's on there for a game show. He wants to win, fine. But on the other hand, I do think as well, I think Nathan is playing a game as well. For me, it was the whole, you know, I think when you watch it back on the TV compared to the house, it's like I see the stuff that he's saying behind scenes. And there was a certain part that on one of the episodes a couple of days ago, I think he said he wanted Sarah to go in so he can end the conversation with Khalid. And that for me is like, well, you're waiting on people to start something for you to finish it. That's a game. If you've got something to say, go say it instead of waiting for someone to pop out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, rather than being calculated about it.
Yeah, and that's where I kind of like see it, because I was seeing that on the inside, but then obviously seeing on the outside, I was like, yeah, it kind of like makes sense now. So
what's your thoughts as an insider to Baked Potato and Nathan's relationship? Is it real?
I'll keep my hand on heart and say the truth. I don't think it is, but I do think Baked Potato is invested. But look, I think if it does blossom into something beautiful, fantastic, you know. But for me, I think Nathan's using Baked Potato for a love story to go to the end. I might be wrong. Look, all of this is just theoretical, right?
Of course, but, yeah. And this is your opinion, and you don't have to counteract that course. But, yeah, but that's coming from someone that's been around it. What makes you think that Nathan's not as invested as Baked Potato?
Look, I just think they got two different complete views. I just can't see Nathan in the real world being with someone, you know, so I guess down to earth, like Rosie, you know. I think he's got a lot of opinions, and the way he thinks and the way he puts things forward, that's the complete opposite of Rosie, you know. And I feel like he'll need someone to be on that level with him to be able to voice his opinions and everything else. So for me, I can't see it on the outside, but again, we don't know, do we? So
have there been any other conversations in the house with other housemates that are of your frame of mind? Do other people think this in the house that we're not seeing? Because I'm sure you're not the only guy or girl in there that's thinking this.
Do you know what it is? I think it's on one of our diary rooms, they asked me why do you think, when it was coming up to the eviction, and in front of Nathan, because we were teamed up, we had to give our evictions on that day. And I said, look, the real reason why I think I'd be out and Nathan would probably have a better chance to stay in is because he's got this love story. And then he basically said, at that time, he was like, well, let's not say that. Let's say obviously, because it's not a Love Island or whatever it was. And I was just like, look, I just think you've got a better chance because you have this love story, but you wouldn't be butting into me like that if you didn't think there was something, you know?
Yeah.
You would just let me put my opinion forward. But then he was trying to voice it like it was something that, you know, it was real and stuff. And I was just like, fair enough, if that's the case. Well, look, I think he means well regardless of what he's doing. If he's there to play a game, he's there to play a game.
Yeah, but you don't buy it.
I don't buy it.
So I've got to ask you, I'm not sure, I mean, I'm sure you have. You've got your phone back now. You're watching this show. What's your thought on Ali's pro-Palestine shirt being censored?
Right, so I honestly tell you the truth on this one. Mm-hmm. She wore that top a few times in the house. She's washed it a couple of times.
That's good to know.
Which is great. Yeah. So realistically, I've seen her wear it, but I didn't know because on the inside, I don't know anything that's happening on the outside, right?
Of course.
I think when I went out, it happened. So,
Seen her wear that when you was in it, yeah.
All the time. She wore it like bedtime and stuff like that as well. So I knew of it 100%, but I really didn't know that it got taken away or censored or whatever it was at the time. So for me, I didn't really have a thought on that because I didn't see it happen. And plus, I saw her wear it a few times. So I can't really put my voice forward on that one, unfortunately.
But are you shocked because you've lived in there and you know it sounds like she lives in it, she sleeps in it, and thank God she washes it because otherwise I bet it stinks. Now you know it's been censored. What's your thoughts on that? Do you think that's a good thing?
Look, realistically, look, I am a person that stands up for people that, you know, shouldn't be harmed or any type of way. And I think standing up for people that are in a very, very hard place at the minute as well is a beautiful thing for standing up for those people. So realistically, look, if it was censored, I'm not sure why Big Brother's done it. Do I think that maybe it was some sort of controversial comments going out on the outside and they just wanted to maybe not make it a political thing within the house? Maybe so. However, I can't really say why Big Brother done it. But look, I honestly think she's done the right thing to wear it, you know? So, and I mean, you've got a Palestinian boy in there himself, which is Khalid. He's you know, I don't even know how much of his family in the background has been going through all that back home. So, yeah. Look, I think it speaks volumes for itself.
So moving on away from clothing, let's talk about Lily.
Yeah.
Lily's personality, is it an act?
Look, I think Lily is probably how she is, but just times 100 in there, you know?
Yeah.
So I think she's just noshing up a little bit more.
She's noshing up?
Yeah.
Noshing?
Nosh it up.
Like, oh, I was going to say, noshing in Essex means something completely different. I thought, is there noshies happening in the Big Brother house?
I know what noshing means, don't worry.
Has there been any noshies in the Big Brother house?
No, that hasn't. I know.
Sorry, back to the personality, noshing aside.
I know there's been a couple of strokes, but that's about it.
Strokes? Let's move away from the personality. Who's had a couple of strokes? Who's stroked who?
Dude, you know what? I seen it on the conversation in the show where obviously I watched it. It was Nathan saying it about, Baked Potato. So that's all. That's all that I know.
So Nathan got a little stroke from Baked Potato.
It sounds like, which I don't want to know about.
Obviously, from someone that lives in there, if two housemates was to have a stroke or a nosh, how hard would it be, no pun intended, to do that without other housemates knowing?
Do you know what? I'm not going to lie. I'd just probably sit up and be like, guys, it'd be a bit of a weird one. I think anyone to do it while everyone's sleeping, and it's just, do you know what I mean? Like, Not something that I would probably be a fan of, if I'm to be honest.
No, yeah, of course. Especially when you're all laying in the same room. No,
yeah,
completely exactly. Understand.
Imagine being right next to it as well. No, thank you.
Yeah, in the bed next to it. Yeah, it ain't what you want.
Nathan was sleeping next to me as well, so I wouldn't really want that, to be honest.
So, yeah, you would have been hearing all the strokes. You didn't... But
I would just be looking at them, making them feel uncomfortable. Just but, stare.
But even though you slept next to Nathan and you didn't hear the stroking.
No.
Let's talk about the feud that's going on. Whose side are you on? Ali and Khalid.
Do Do you know what? It's a bit mental because I felt a bit disappointed that obviously when Marcello had the head of house, they all went upstairs and then they made it a thing of, ha ha ha, you know, it's our time now and no one's now going to... And this is the thing about the house. I didn't want to be in an environment where it was like, it's our team or their team, you know? So I found it a bit disappointing that they went upstairs and they were like, oh, we're safe. You know, just because Marcello's in there. I'm not a fan of like these groupings when it comes to people trying to go against people. And I feel like they were in a good place with everyone in the house at the moment. You know, everyone's having a bit of banter and whatever else. Could have just left it and just let it be, you know? And I think I truly would stand with just letting it be. Let Marcello just do his thing as a head of house. Not make it into a more of a rivalry thing now. But it's come back to this whole rivalry thing. You know, it's like trying to get... back at one.
Yeah.
You know, going for like a one for one, and it's just like, nah, not a fan of it.
So we've touched upon earlier in the interview people that you think might have gone in there with a little bit of a game plan and the way they're playing things. But who would you say is, if you had to name one housemate and you can't plead the fifth, who's the fakest housemate? Like the fakest. Most disingenuous.
Disingenuous. Oh, okay. So that is a hard one. I think, look, no one's not that disingenuous. I think, yeah, if they're playing the game, look, I don't know why, but I just feel Shegan, you know?
That's your gut.
Yeah, it's just my gut. I just feel like the person that he's been, and obviously being in the house, there was times that he was playing up towards the cameras. Don't get me wrong, Khalid was doing it, but I get it from Khalid's point of view because he's a model. And you know, he's probably very socially active.
And used to being in front of a camera.
Yeah, so I can just sit there and say, do you know what? Khalid's just being who he was outside, probably loving the cameras, you know?
Yeah.
And that to me would be like, fair enough, mate, carry on, but like, pull it back.
Yeah.
But then Shegan, I think he's a presenter on the outside, like partly presenting. I can't see why he would like, at times when we were in groups, he'd like try to do something funny or start dancing or start... doing something where it was, for me, it was like, well, that's definitely for the cameras.
Yeah. And you find it a bit cringe.
Do you know what? I found a lot of things cringe in the house.
Like, yeah.
That's me, though, you know, but probably people thought cringe things of me. Do you know what I mean?
Nah, but when you know someone's playing up to a camera, it almost gives you the ick. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm very aware of that. Thank you. I could speak to you all night, but I'm so sorry. I've got to go to my next guest, but thank you so much.
No, that's fine.
And thank you for entertaining us, and best of luck with everything, mate.
Appreciate you, and thank you for having me, though. It's been fantastic.
You're so welcome. Have a lovely evening, mate.
No worries. Take care,
take care. Bye.
Access All Areas continues next. Foobar Radio. What the Hell with Gabby Allen.
Three words to describe yourself.
Weird, funny, and quirky. I'm a strange guy.
Oh, I love that. That's good. Not many men would say that. Normally they're like, yeah, strong.
No, that's, you know what? That's what people think I'm going to be. Like, they see, like, the gym and the muscles and the tattoos, and they think I'm going to be, like, this, like, serious, like, fuck boy, like, lad. You know what I mean? And then they meet me, and I'm like a Jim Carrey. I'm like a muscly Jim Carrey.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google app stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
It was calm on the beach, so I took my little girl out on the water. Then we hit the wind, and it blew us out to sea, faster than we could paddle back. And we learned our lesson from these guys, the crew who got us home. Thank you.
Respect the water and watch out for the winds. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Registering to vote means you can take part in the way decisions are made in the UK. When you register to vote, you are then able to cast your vote at local and national elections. You can help choose who runs your area and makes decisions about things you care about. Millions of people in the UK aren't registered to vote, and they miss out on having their voice heard. It's quick and easy to register. It only takes 5 minutes. You can do it online, or you can ask for a paper form at your local council. Register to vote now at gov.uk/register to vote.
Politics Uncensored.
I felt like it was a little bit, they wanted to go viral. They wanted the clip to end up on socials and be able to go viral, and there was nothing substantive on it. So to be honest, it kind of pissed me off because I thought it was a throwaway comment made for social media as opposed to actually giving voters information they need when they enter the voting booth.
Totally agree. And I also found the whole, I think you said something about Keir Starmer's strings being pulled by senior members of the Labour Party. I found that slightly conspiratorial.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
What's kind of that one golden thing that you like to share with people who are trying to start a business?
That's a really easy one, because I have a mantra which, you know, I say to young people all the time, and they really get it when I say it. And it goes like, don't undermine who you are by comparing yourself with someone else. It's because we are all different. Why each of us is special.
Grab your backstage passes and prepare to access all areas.
Welcome back to Access All Areas, guys. I'm Bobby Norris.
And I'm Ellen Collins.
Yes, you are, darling. And we are joined via the perks of technology. Oh, good, yes. Old Zoom. It's like lockdown days.
It's like lockdown all over
we
again.
Have got Mr. Bradley Riches from Celebrity Big Brother and Heartstopper.
Hello. Nice to see you guys.
Hello.
I see you.
How are you? Firstly, congratulations on the engagement.
Yes.
Thank you.
I saw it on the socials. Show me the ring.
Oh, it's here. Well, funny fact, it doesn't actually fit on the right finger, so I have to put it on my middle.
Oh, bless you. Oh, that's gorgeous.
Nice little band. But I'll put, wait, there we go.
I was going to say.
It's a bit loose.
Don't be one of them boys that goes, oh, it don't fit on that finger. Not that I've ever been engaged. Right, Brad. Oh, you don't mind me calling you Brad, babe, do you?
No, I love it.
Good. Right, I want to get straight in there. Big Brother's on the box at the minute.
Yes.
From someone that's just done the first Celebrity Big Brother of ITV's era, how are you finding watching it? Because they're in your house.
Yeah, well, I feel like
it's had a bit of a makeover. IKEA have been in.
I know, like, when it says makeover, I mean the tiniest amount of makeover. Literally a lick of paint.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's weird. To be fair, you don't see many of them in the bedroom. You see it like for a little glimpse. It doesn't feel like anyone's sleeping in my bed. But I think the change of bedding makes it feel like it's their own. I can give it to them.
They're allowed.
But yeah, I think this season's really interesting. I think there's a lot of interesting characters who obviously rub each other a bit up the wrong way. I think the past few seasons of ITV's Big Brother have been quite positive, and they're all kind of like a family unit, where this one, there is a clear divide and there is a lot of... back and forth with arguments and debates and stuff like that, which is very entertaining.
It is so entertaining. Would you have liked to have been in that house?
So my family asked me this, and I was like, I think I would. Somehow, I think I'd still get along with everyone in there. But I'm trying to work. I think I could be with Ali and Lily. I'm not too sure. But I feel like I could be friends with everyone. Yeah, I feel like, because I was a bit of friends with everyone in my season, so... Yeah, I don't know where it's a hard one, where I don't know where I'd place myself, but I think I'd still have fun and, you know, make friends and do all these weird challenges, but maybe not for 6 weeks. Maybe that's a bit too long.
It's a long time. You spoke about people rubbing each other up the wrong way. There's been a little bit of talk of another kind of rubbing going on in Big Brother. So I want to ask now, as you know, both in Channel 4 days and Channel 5, a lot of my friends have done Celebrity Big Brother.
Yeah.
So I kind of know the tea on what goes down and where certain things go down, so to speak. But you're my go-to for ITV Celeb Big Brother. In terms of rubbing, what happens in Celebrity Big Brother?
Well, in terms of rubbing, I mean, no one wanted to rub each other. I think that's the first thing.
But was they rubbing? Was they rubbing themselves, Bradley?
Well, do you know, when I was in there was something. I had no sex drive at all. So I think, I don't know what happened to me, but I didn't feel it once. But I may know that some people may have. But obviously, the showers are frosted, but the doors don't lock in the bathroom. So there's a lot of different things you could go, but it still feels unsafe. Like anyone could, Louis Walsh could walk in any moment.
And catch you having a wank in the shower.
No. He'd be like, who's in this shower? And you'd be like, leave me alone.
I mean, that would kill anyone's sex drive. The thought of Louis Walsh
knocking one out and Louis walks in, unless it's for ton, I ain't interested.
I would never have sex again.
So I wouldn't ask for names because obviously, love you, and I know you ain't going to spill that much tea, even though it's Access All Areas. But you know, some people had a good rub in a shower.
Yeah, maybe.
It was
I
that.
I didn't experience it.
No, you didn't. You couldn't get it up. But I understand that, though, because 8 days on SAS, I didn't think it was even working anymore. So everyone's like, oh, what do you do? I was like, you don't do nothing. You don't even know you've got one.
Yeah.
But from what you know, was shower the place?
Yes, but this is a bit of different with the like the normal version. Theirs is frosted only where the genital area is.
No.
The sexy one is frosted all the way.
Yeah.
Oh.
So there's a little bit of an insider.
Yeah, as a celeb, you deserve a little bit more frosting.
Yeah,
frosted over the face.
Yeah, definitely. The tabloids will be watching a bit too close. So after watching it this year, do you think that anybody's actually playing up for the cameras?
I don't know. I feel like I think people are aware of the cameras. I don't know if anyone's playing up to the cameras. I think when the best way to see if people are playing up to the cameras is in the diary rooms a lot of the time. I feel like when you see them with like the group and stuff, that is them authentically themselves because you can't be not yourself for 24 hours type thing. Whereas when you're in the diary room, sometimes you see like different vibes of people, like a bit like, I don't know, different energy sometimes. And I think because they know it's physically, you can see a camera in front of you and they're speaking to you and you know they're filming. And yeah, I think sometimes you see a lot of, like, for example, I mean, it was an amazing moment, but last night, Sarah, when the noise was buzzing off and stuff like that, she was very performative about, you know, saying she wants the sugar. But I think it's performative in different ways, I guess. But I don't know, within the house, well, I think a lot of people obviously said about Khaled. I think I see him as a nice person, but a lot of people are saying that he's playing up the cameras. And when a lot of people in the house are saying that, you kind of have to second guess yourself about his him looking for the cameras, I guess.
Yeah, true. Because we're only seeing a small section of it. So the people in the house know what's going on and what they're seeing and what he's portraying and stuff.
Yeah.
So,
and I don't think we see a lot of Khaled either, to be fair. We see like little glimpses of him. And so I don't think... Yeah, I don't think we can judge, but I think in the house now, everyone's picking up on him playing for the cameras, looking at the cameras. Then, yeah, it's a bit like, maybe he is, because we're only seeing an hour.
When you are in the house, are you able to kind of decipher who is popular on the outside? Like, I know you have no idea, but is there like, do you know, kind of this instinct that like, oh, this person is probably very popular and getting loads of screen time on the outside, or do you just have no clue at all?
I think the only thing that you know is obviously if you're on a secret task, you're none of us knew like David and Ziza are on a secret task, but if you're on a secret task, the plot is about you and like, do you get me? Like, right. So I think when people are on secret tasks, because everyone wants a secret task, I think that's when you know that it's around you and you're like on the camera a lot more.
Yeah.
And with popularity, I think the only thing you can base it off is if someone survives an eviction, I guess, and the cheers. But a lot of the time, like Louis Walsh, he was getting boos and cheers, but he stayed till the end.
Right.
And so, because it is a pantomime at the end of the day.
Yeah, true.
So I think, yeah, it's quite hard to know. Like even like Fern got a couple of boos as well and she stayed till the end as well. So I think it's hard to work out because it's only like 200 people, 400 people, I don't know how many people in the studio, but that's not like a representative of the whole
nation.
Viewing people.
Yes, yeah. True. So who do you think is going to win this year?
I think they've come in parallel now. I think my who I think and my who I want, Emma. I have a feeling she's going to do it, but I want her to do it as well. Yeah, Emma's my winner, I think.
Why is she your winner?
I feel like she's playing a really great game, but in the best, but being authentically herself at the same time. I feel like she's navigating the game well, so like being friends with everyone, kind of taking that mother figure. Like no one will vote for her, I don't think, because no one, you just wouldn't. So I think she's playing a good game, but she's staying true to herself. And I think, yeah, she's my winner. Or if not her, Lily. But I think Lily's chaotic.
Yes, she's a bit chaotic, isn't she? But she's so fun to watch. They're both brilliant to watch, actually. So enough about Big Brother. Tell us about your engagement. Is there wedding plans? When's the wedding date? Are me and Bobby invited?
I hope
what do we wear?
Yeah, so you're definitely invited. It'll
Thanks,
be you'll get to make the date soon.
Perfect.
But we're looking. So we've kind of put a deposit down, but it's like a manor house.
We love a manor house.
Love that.
in the UK, we were going to do it abroad, but we'll just have like this stag doing stuff abroad. So we'll do that abroad. But
will you do a joint stag? Because this is what I love about the guys.
I am one.
Disclaimer. But because obviously traditionally you have your hen and your stag.
Yeah.
But a lot of guys now, since we've very kindly been allowed to get married, which is very kind.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. It only took God knows how many years. But now we're allowed to finally have some kind of equal rights. Mm. Would you double up on a stag, or are you both going to have separate stags?
No, so we'll have separate ones.
Okay.
But like, obviously it'll be a mixture of girls and boys, like in either group.
Yeah.
So it's not just like a stag do with all guys. It's not like a hen do with all girls.
Yeah.
But, we were doing our own set because we've both got 8 bridesmaids each.
Oh, I love it. So it's very subtle. It's not a great and a green turnout. Just so you know, Brad, I'm very close to the dream boys. If you want a couple of strippers or you want a little contract at the dream boys and you want a little bit of a Corey, get on and I'll let you know, because
we'll get them over. I don't know where all the plans are, but we'll fly them over. They can all come.
Oh, I love it. So Brad, moving on from the Corey and the stags, I'd love to talk about it all night, but I want to speak to you about the charity stuff you're doing.
Yeah, so today I went on to like the front line in London around Westminster Borough. And basically it's a charity called St. Mungo's. Basically what they do, they're like the first outreach for homeless people and rough sleepers. So we went out at 5:30 a.m. this morning.
Oh, wow.
And we spoke to different clients that have so some people obviously like already are in the system, and you speak to them clients about how their accommodation status is going, letting them know that their passage is open for food, drink, washing your clothes, getting new clothes, charging your phone, getting a phone, all these different things that are open there every day. But also like obviously seeing their status, but also speaking to new people who they haven't met before. So that I spoke to quite a lot on people that they hadn't signed up before, and we spoke to them about their journey, why they're here, where they want to be. Some people just don't want to ask for help, which is okay, but we always take their contact details and obviously wait and see if they're maybe tomorrow they're more open to speak about asking for help, that thing. But we spoke to a lot of new people who got set up in the system. So obviously the passage, which is like where you get your food, drink, washing clothes and all that stuff, it allows you to go into there, and then they get put onto the system about council housing or private housing. And last year I think the charity housed 9,000 people.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing. And are you going to continue working with them?
Yeah, I would love to do another shift, just to keep it was very eye-opening, obviously speaking to like all these different people and how they got there and what they want to do further in their life. So I definitely would love to carry on working with them, because I think a lot of the time you see a lot of homeless charities obviously providing food and drink, and which is obviously amazing as well, the work they do. But this is like the first point of contact, which is really interesting to see how obviously like the system, the council system is like just doesn't work a lot of the time. Like we need more houses and stuff like that. But it also showed that there is people trying to do stuff, but there's also so much they can do if there's not actually physically any houses allowing people who are homeless to live in them. So
absolutely. And I love that people speak out about this, and it's thankfully been spoke about a lot more. Obviously we've got Prince William, he's done a two-part documentary, which I think you can never get enough light on this topic, because sadly even in 2024
Yeah.
When we'd all like to think the world was in a better place.
I know.
But let's not get started on things that are going on that make us not in a better place, but we're getting there in terms of that.
Yeah.
It's a crazy old world, though. We know what we're saying. Yeah. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But in terms of... But... In terms of people speaking about homelessness, I know Joe's on the call. I've literally got 1 minute left. I've got my producer in my ear rushing me through. With Joe, can we get a quick comment before I end the interview and the show, babe?
Of course you can. Yeah, lovely to be here. You know, what struck me was just how many people on the streets are struggling with their mental health. 45% of people who are, sorry, not on the streets, 45% of people without a home struggle with their mental health. 8 out of 10 people on the streets are struggling with their mental health. And, you know, it could be you, it could be me, it could be any of us. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing is, you know, if we get up close and personal to these people, they could be my brother, my dad, my sister, my mum.
That's the sad thing. It could be anyone. And so many people, it's literally your one paycheck away from
that.
Joe, thank you so much for coming on and teaming up with Bradley. It's an absolute pleasure to give it the shout out it deserves.
Yeah.
Keep doing what you're doing. Thank you so much. Thank you, Bradley. I've got to end the show. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Take care. Oh, Elle, great show.
Great show, isn't it?
Love ya.
Love ya.
Guys, see you next week.